This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Personal Finance Wednesday. If you've been unemployed because of the pandemic, how do you get ready to get back to work? Beginning with, what's it going to take to go to a job interview online? The economy is reopening. Protests continue to rage across the country, including here in Chicagoland. Health officials are concerned it could lay the foundation for a second wave of COVID in the fall. We'll cover that in our next segment. First, the financial markets moving higher today, as you heard Elisa say, and this is because the private sector shed fewer jobs than feared, and by a long shot. Carl Tannenbaum is here, chief economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. Carl, let's begin. Kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of the numbers.
Well, I'd say the way you'd summarize it is that things are getting worse, just not as bad as we thought that they would. Kind of hard to put a positive spin on a situation, according to ADP, where we've lost almost 23 million jobs over just 2 months. And the counting of those positions is particularly difficult during a time like this, as we'll find out again on Friday when the Labor Department weighs in on the same topic, Cisco. I think the reality is that payrolls across the country are still well below where they were. There are a lot of households that are struggling with that job displacement and uncertainty, quite frankly, about when they'll get back to work. While we're hoping, and I think this is partly reflected in today's numbers, that the initial reopenings will have a surge of reemployment, I think the course for the economy to recover is going to be long and winding. And so will the return to low levels of unemployment.
It may take a while for us to figure this out, but is there a chance that the Paycheck Protection Act, the federal bill that encouraged employers to keep people on the rolls, is there a chance that that contributed to, I mean, this is a 6 million person difference in expectations?
Correct. And I think the Paycheck Protection Program has been effective for those who received it in holding people in place. I worry a little bit, Cisco, because the eight-week period over which borrowers could deduct the amount of their payrolls from their loan amounts, essentially getting forgiveness, is going to end later on this month. And so the worry that many have is that unless Congress acts to modify the terms of the PPP, that you could see another leg down in employment as that window closes.
And that's because this reopening is sort of getting the economy moving again. It's not like a light switch where you're going to be able to get back to where we were 4 months ago.
Boy, I wish it were, but there are four curves, Cisco, that we have to traverse before we get back to normal. One is the curve controlling the virus. The second is the curve of what government and public health officials tell us is possible and safe. The third is what companies decide to do with their own operations based on demand and the safety of their employees and their customers. And then finally, Cisco, let's face it, we've coached consumers to be very, very cautious about going out and being about. And it may take a while for us to relax. And let's not forget, again, that there are households whose economic circumstances are less than they were 3 months ago. And I think all of that contributes to this very gradual recovery that we have in front of us.
Thanks so much for the analysis. Carl Tannenbaum, he is chief economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. Just ahead, concern about a widening pandemic because of protests and the reopening of cities. States are continuing to lift stay-at-home orders and other restrictions. That's raising concerns that a botched reopen could set up a nasty COVID resurgence in the fall. Michelle Cortez is here, health reporter at Bloomberg News, based in Minneapolis. Michelle, you have the reopening combined with these protests. It seems like there could be a challenge with COVID just a few weeks from now.
Absolutely. It's going to take about 3 to 4 weeks in order to start seeing some increasing numbers if, in fact, these protests and the reopening of states are seeding additional infection. But, everyone is a little bit on the edge in the public health community, concerned that some of these folks who are out there, particularly minorities who are increased or who are more highly vulnerable to coronavirus, might be creating additional harms for themselves personally and their families.
So what are health officials, what are they saying here? What sort of encouragement are they giving and advice, given the fact that the communities, they just can't economically stay closed down forever?
Exactly. You can't stay closed down forever. And we did see people, public health officials, worried about, beach visits and pool parties and that type of thing. You add on these thousands and thousands of people protesting in very tight quarters to that, and we don't know what's going to happen. I talked to the CDC today, and they said they're really trying to encourage mayors and governors to increase testing across all their communities so that they can identify any outbreaks. But on a federal level, nationwide, there really isn't anything planned because there's just no organization around this.
So as far as the protests as well, you've had leaders being very respectful, letting people protest peacefully. However, that is, an issue not only for the people who are protesting, but for all the people that they're going to be around over the next several weeks.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't have any control over that, right? If you are a bus driver or you work in a grocery store, if you're the parent or a grandparent of one of these people who are out, whether they be protesting or, going out to restaurants or getting coffee and whatnot, this is a virus that you don't have unilateral control over. You can't control your own risk when it comes to this. The decisions that other people are making will affect every one of us.
Really interesting in the international scene with COVID. You have Italy actually talking about allowing tourists in. I mean, that's a total 180.
Right. Well, certainly we saw huge outbreaks there and in Spain as well. They're talking about in July, they're going to start increasing that. You have to remember, to your point earlier, Cisco, these economies, these countries rely on tourism. They drive huge amounts of money, and they have been shut down for months and months now. And if they're going to take away their summer season, that fuels the GDP of those countries for the entire year. It's like, not having Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Spain is Italy. Spain is the country getting ready to allow tourism back in. Thank you, Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Michelle is among the guests on this week's WBBM In-Depth podcast, where we take a deep dive into all things coronavirus. You can find that all you have to do is search for WBBM In-Depth on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Today marks the start of Phase 3 in the reopening of Chicago. Several businesses getting back to it, though, with social distancing and other issues. Let's get the perspective on the state of the city from Lawrence Missal, president of the Civic Federation here in Chicago. It's always good to have you on the show. I guess in general, for starters, what do you make of getting to Phase 3 and the importance of moving forward in the city?
It's a wonderful relief to most businesses, to most people, that we've made it back to Phase 3. It's a step. It's only a step into a long recovery. We won't really know the full economic impact of the COVID, and we're not out of the COVID crisis, but at least we have some economic activity returning to the loop.
How important is that for businesses, just even a little economic activity, just a little bit of cash flow?
Exactly. I think for a lot of businesses, it is a lifesaver. I think Mayor Lightfoot, when she saw as a result of the looting and the problems that occurred as a result of the demonstrations, that she still needed to stay on the schedule to go to Phase 3 to allow some businesses to have some economic activity, to be able to get some cash in the door to keep them going.
As you mentioned, the pandemic, it's still ongoing. What concerns do business owners have as they get started again?
First of all, the people are assessing what is the public's response. Are they going to come to the restaurants? Are they going to be able to operate in a way that's close to where they were? We're a long way from large gatherings. We're a large way from a typical Chicago summer, but important step. I would say that businesses want to know where we're headed. Predictability is really the mainstay for how businesses invest. They have been stretched to the limit over the last 2.5 months with the stay-at-home orders, which were necessary to protect them and protect the public. But people are hopeful that we are going to be, we've turned a corner today with the beginning of the opening of the city.
So for some of the businesses that are still able to reopen, some of the ones that have not had to close, is this time period, I mean, it seems like it would be essential that if this dragged on another month or so, there'd be just many more businesses unable to make it.
Exactly. I think, again, it's tied to public health as much as it is to anything. And so it's viewed as safe to allow businesses to partially open with social distancing, with people wearing masks. But that isn't the same as the full-blown opening of what we experienced economically back in February before this happened. It was important for a lot of businesses to be able to have something going on positively where they could actually sell their product and actually support their business. But there is a lot that's unknown. There's a lot that's unknown as a result, unfortunately, of the damage to property and the looting that occurred as a result of the protests, how those businesses are going to be able to get back in shape to open and what the response to them will be.
Yeah, that certainly may make it take some more time. Thank you. Lawrence Missal, president of the Civic Federation here in Chicago, is the city's beginning phase three of its reopening plan. Just ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday. Probably a good idea to start your job hunt now if you're going to be looking.
Download the WBBM Noon Business Hour podcast, or if you missed only a portion, rewind on the radio.com app.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Wall Street positive today. The Dow up 407, NASDAQ up 61, and the S&P is up 34. Let's see what's going on. Jeff Kilberg is here, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Jeff, what do you make of what you're seeing today?
Well, Cisco, we continue to see stocks surge higher. And we have to remember that the stock market is a forward pricing mechanism. So what does that mean? Yes, this is a dislocated rally. We're still trying to measure and gauge what reopenings look like. And due to the fact that we saw such a tough first quarter for some of these companies, we have seen that been offset by a lot of the stimulus. So right now, we're looking at the NASDAQ 100. About to take out all-time highs put back in February, but this is just a remarkable movement off that March 23rd low. Look at the S&P 500 on the March 23rd. We were underneath 2,200. Now we're above 3,100, Cisco. So this has been a really swift recovery, about 40% from those lows.
But a tenuous recovery, because as you mentioned earlier, we don't exactly know what's going to happen over the next few months.
That's absolutely right. And I think a lot of people are having a hard time. This is unprecedented. We've never seen a situation where the global economy, the pause button was pressed. So as we see reopenings, of course, this is in conjunction with a lot of the looting going on. We're having a hard time gauging what these economies, state, local, as well as globally, are going to look like. But there is optimism. We do have a undercurrent as well of a vaccine potentially about COVID-19. So there's a lot of optimism in the stock market. Maybe it's a little overzealous, but at the end of the day, Cisco, the relative strength in the marketplace continues to move markets higher.
So is it, especially with those tech stocks, should investors be looking at them? They overpriced? What do you see there?
Well, hopefully you've had exposure to the FANG stocks. We talk a lot about the Facebook, the Amazon, the Apple, and there are a lot of stocks that certainly will prevail in this new economy. You know, my thumb is actually sore from pressing my Amazon app so many times to get things delivered. But nonetheless, I think if you had exposure, it's time to potentially reconsider a rebalance here, because there's a lot of names that we're seeing participate in the catch-up trade. So a day like today, we're actually seeing Boeing, we're seeing American Airlines. And remember, despite the fact that Boeing's up about 10% today, it's still down 50% year-to-date. So the airlines and some of these names have a long way to go, but there are also names like JP Morgan, Chubb, ExxonMobil, FedEx, a lot of these names, they're participating in the catch-up trade, as we have seen in the last couple of weeks, Cisco, a little bit of rotation out of the NASDAQ 100 into some of these names, more of these essential names that the economy uses every day.
What should we think about AMC theaters? They're basically saying they don't think they can remain in business.
Oh, that's just a tough story to watch. You think about this stock 5 years ago, Cisco, it was trading $35. Now it's under $5. probably bankruptcy on the horizon, but the AMC Theaters, which there's 1,000 of these locations nationwide, they lost about $2.4 billion just in the first quarter, and they've been closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So when will they reopen? When will we see some of these new movies come out? Is it later June or is it July? It's really hard to gauge, but AMC, they've been in a really rough slog, and I think it may get a little bit worse before it gets better.
So is it for investors then, is it a little more difficult now to pick specific stocks? Should they be considering ETFs, especially if they want to be able to sleep at night?
I think utilizing ETFs definitely gives you a broader swath. XLK is a technology stock we've certainly liked. XHB is the home builders, which has actually had some productivity lately. But look at names that are essential to U.S. economy and American way. If we actually manage a portfolio called the Essential 40, but these are all names you know. It's the Apples, it's the Amazons, the Facebooks, but it's also Masco. It's also Home Depot. It's also CVS Health. It's also Bristol Myers. So there's a lot of great names out there that have kind of been forgotten about in this recent rally, Cisco.
Thanks so much for all of the analysis. Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Just ahead, it's Personal Finance Wednesday. Why waiting to start a job search is likely to be a bad strategy.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Mesirow Wealth Management. If you're concerned about not having a job because of the recent hit to the economy, the time to start looking is now, right now. Joining us with some advice, Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network here in Chicago. Tom, I think a lot of people are discouraged. They've been unemployed. They don't really have any hope for being able to get a job, and that may be one of the things that's keeping them from moving forward.
Yeah, Cisco, it's really a mindset. It's a cliche, but it's not about getting knocked down. It's about getting back up. And there are a lot of people unemployed, but you've got to be saying you've got to start the fight now. To delay it because you're having a pity party isn't going to make it any better. You've got to think that you're capable and you're competent, work on your skills, but start applying for jobs.
Do we have a sense that as the economy is reopening, employers are going to go back to hiring, or are they going to take several months maybe to kind of see how things pan out?
No, there's hiring going on right now. The difference is that so many of the 40 million unemployed workers are in the services industry, meaning waiters and waitresses and housekeepers and hotel staff. So if you're in that, you've definitely been hit. But then you've got to pivot and shift into something else, whether it's working at Amazon or going to Target or a grocery store and Aldi, things like those that are hiring. And if you're in a white-collar job, there's definitely companies hiring for remote and virtual workers.
So what is the first thing that someone should do if they are recently unemployed over the last few months and want to get back to work? What's the first thing you'd tell them to do?
Get their resume ready. I would proofread it 10 times because now is the point where you can't have any typos, any grammatical errors. There's no face-to-face contact, so your resume has to be spotless.
So spotless resume, get it ready. Should they also expect to apply for a job where they're going to be making a lot less money, or is that not necessarily true?
I think the key is, and where people make a lot of mistake in their job search, Cisco, is that they focus too much on would they really want the job or how much it will pay. You can't turn down a job you've never been offered. So apply to as many jobs as you can. Wait until the offers come in and then make an educated decision. But until you get offered something, to think about what you will or won't do is a waste of mental energy. And then you want to move forward past the resume is if you're in a white-collar job, you want to update your LinkedIn profile and make sure it mirrors what your resume says. And then the third most important thing is you need to talk to your references. They need to be ready to answer their mobile phones and emails and respond to those ASAP and be the references that will help you get the job.
So what do you say to the person whose employer maybe furloughed them? They believe that they are going to be rehired by that employer, and so they're not looking for a job.
The key question with a furlough is, did they give you a date? And if they didn't, then odds are there's a strong chance you're not coming back. And if the date is too far into the future, then you really have to take care of yourself. The company, I'm a big fan of company loyalty. We have it at our shop, and I think it's crucial. However, if a company furloughed you, they did that to take care of themselves, and they had to from a business perspective. You have to take care of yourself. And if you can find another job that's going to pay you a salary that you feel is worthwhile to your experience and your abilities, then you got to go take it.
Some people are, and I'm not casting aspersions or anything, but there are some people, because of the $600 a week bonus, they are making more than they were back when they were working, and so they've been kind of hesitant to go back.
Well, the problem with the extended unemployment benefits are really twofold. Number one, they don't last forever, and number two, they don't get you promoted to make more than that. So to rely on unemployment benefits because it may pay a few bucks more short term is really losing sight of the forest through the trees. You've got to think about the end of this year, 2021, 2022, and where you want to be, and you got to take advantage of things while you can. I wouldn't rely on the unemployment benefits as a long-term employment strategy.
Thanks so much, Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network here in Chicago. That's Personal Finance Wednesday. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. Still to come today, the battle over airline flights to and from China.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There is a brewing fight between the U.S. and China over air travel between the two countries. Let's talk about it and get some details. Joe Schwederman is here, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. Joe, kind of bring us up to speed on what's going on here.
You know, we're coming out of a really difficult period where we have kind of double issues happening. Coronavirus, of course, in China and the United States, and this escalating trade war with Hong Kong in the mix. But to make a long story short, you know, flights were really cut back between China and the United States. And then China on the 26th of March banned U.S. carriers from operating more than one flight a week, which is, you know, pretty restrictive. And the airlines are ready to ramp up schedules, and China's saying no. So the Trump administration dropped the hammer this morning and suspended all Chinese flights to the U.S. So it's a big story.
So how does it work then? If you're someone in the United States who wants to get to China, you have to fly somewhere else. You just have to do it in a flight that's not direct.
That's right. You can go through Tokyo. One of the other gateways are, you know, as of this moment, the U.S. airlines are still operating the one flight a week they're allowed to operate. So there is some capacity coming out. And the airlines are pushing hard. They think by mid-June there'll be a market, particularly for Chinese travelers coming over here. And airline stocks have risen on this because they feel that there's going to be some resolution to this trans-Pacific problem that's just kept the airlines sidelined. They're ready to add some planes to the schedules.
But it sounds like what's going on is President Trump doesn't want it just to be Chinese planes going back and forth. He wants the American air carriers to get some of it, too.
That's exactly right. And they've been pushing the Chinese government to allow the U.S. airlines, you know, to expand beyond that one flight a week, which is so minimal. And they've been pushing back. And, of course, you throw Hong Kong into the mix here, and we lack a whole lot of good leverage options there. And so this is no doubt tied to that as well, sending signals to China that, you know, we're not happy with their world stance on things. So the whole thing is complex, and Trump is even suggesting it could be even bigger penalties for Chinese airlines if something doesn't happen soon.
And as you mentioned, airline stocks have been rising this week. Thank you, Joe Schwederman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast will be available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.